Brethren, fantastic to be here tonight. I'm just going to speak with you about a few things that have been on my heart in the past, sort of, I don't know, a bit over a week. When Brother Alvin got up here a fortnight ago, whenever it was, about that, he said about running the race. And the second I heard the words, run the race, it was just, the Holy Spirit just put his finger straight in between my eyes and it just really illuminated run the race. And I thought, I've never run a race, but I wouldn't quite call the life that I'm living running a race, sort of, in the life of Christ. So I've just looked at a few scriptures, and if you could open your Bibles to Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Just bow for a word of prayer and see what we've got here. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to come speak to your people, Father. Just pray that you would help me to have clear speech, Lord, and just help me to get out the thoughts that have sort of been put on my heart. And, yeah, just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so seeing where compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I was looking at it, I was like, what witnesses is it talking about? I read through chapter 11 and it's got all the old saints, the sort of foundation saints from the Old Testament, and it still didn't really make too much sense to me. So I looked into the wording, and the cloud of witnesses, that was first used by Homer, who was a poet from 450 BC, when he was talking, referring to a big group of foot soldiers. So that's that part. And witnesses is translated from the Greek word martus, where the word martyr comes from, referring to all the men who have proved their strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. So basically it's saying, wherefore seeing we're surrounded by such a multitude of martyrs. Now, that really sort of is hectic when you think about it. That many people like dying and getting tortured for our Lord. Just the faith that they've got in him, and it's really sobering when you think of it like that, because the faith that we've got these days, I don't know, it's like to get, you know, burnt alive and strung up on a cross and upside down on a cross just because, for the Lord, you know, praise God for him. But got into that much of it, and then I was thinking, let us lay every weight aside and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I've never run in a race, but I've done a fair bit of running, and basically when I first got to Mount Gambier, I was telling Dad, yeah, I can run. He took me to the oval, and I think I made 3 laps around the oval and almost died. Anyway, I was sort of eating some humble pie at that point. I decided that I was going to get serious about it, and so I got up every morning. I decided first that I was going to be able to run up Centenary Tower and around the lakes and all this. And I don't think they'd believe me, but I just sort of set my goals, stayed focused, and got up every morning and did some training. And then looked at my diet and Dad's diet, and we both shed some weight because it was really holding us back. So there is a point to all this. What I was thinking with how he says about lay aside, let us lay aside every weight. When in the Christian life we've got all these things hindering us, like all these things pulling us back, and we just got to cut them off one by one, so we can just focus on the prize at hand. Anyway, I'll keep going where I was at. And then because it was such a long run, I had to sort of learn how to ignore my body and telling me that I couldn't do it, constantly like cramping up and just, not being... Like, the body doesn't want to run up mountains and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Same as the flesh doesn't want to sort of live for the spirit in this day and age. Everything's pulling the flesh, like, to one side, and then the spirit's focusing that way. You just got to ignore the flesh and, sort of focus on what the spirit's saying. And, praise God that the sort of spirit is willing. But man, the flesh is weak sometimes, but you can learn how to control it. And I just thought all these things, I've got to actually set out on paper a lot more clearly than I'm saying. So, yeah. But I likened it a lot where Paul likened the Christian life to running a race. Now, I ended up knocking from Dad's. I got up the centenary, down around the Blue Lake and back. By the end of it, kept going each time, got better at it. By the end of it, knocked 45 minutes off my time. Same as sort of the Christian life when I first got saved and when I started off in the race or walking or whatever, that I just kept falling. I didn't know how to ignore the flesh. And then just by continually getting up early, training in prayer, you know, cross training, Bible, and just putting the Lord first, that he gave me the victory over that. So I just figured that was pretty good wording from Paul to put it like that. If you can turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24, please. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, just all of this was really marrying in with the training side. I don't know how many of you have done much training, but it really spoke heaps to me. The first two verses, more 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, temperate in all things. To striveth for masteries in Greek is the word agonizomai, And it means to contend with adversaries, to fight, to endeavour with strenuous zeal to obtain something. Now, I hear that and I was thinking, I haven't been doing that. It hasn't been strenuous. So I've been, you know, it's like I've come to prayer meeting on Saturday mornings whenever I'm not working, whenever I can. I've got witnessing Thursday nights when I... Well, we usually do that. And then church twice Sundays and then Wednesday night. And that, to endeavour with strenuous zeal to obtain something. To me, it just didn't seem strenuous zeal. And when Brother said about running the race, I was like, just did not feel like I was doing enough. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air. I just looked into what he meant there, as in a boxer throwing punches aimlessly and missing the target, which I don't know, I just thought that was a little side note. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. Basically, from what I got out of it and what I could get out of it, Paul was telling us that we've got to keep our testimony strong, or every single thing that we've ever told anyone, like tried to win to Christ, is just all, it's all in vain. There's no point, and you just should have saved your breath, because you're only just doing the exact opposite to what you were trying to do in the first place. And you're actually bringing reproach to Christ's name, not doing anything for him. Because, yeah, it's just hypocrisy. And furthermore, for the run, I was still looking into it. And the Greek word is tracho, and it's derived from dremo. To run or walk hastily means literally to move faster than a walk, making rapid linear movements. Webster says, to run is to go steadily by springing steps so that both feet leave the ground for an instant in each step. Checo therefore describes someone in haste. Figuratively, Checo describes rapid propagation of doctrine spreading without restraint. It also pictures one exerting effort, striving hard, spending strength to attain a goal. I'm reading all this, it's just hit me like a ton of bricks. So I haven't been doing that. I thought I was doing all right, but what Paul's talking about is a different type of he's in a different race, you know. And then Brother Crockett come down, and you hear about the race he's in over in Romania. Yeah, he sounds like he's really doing some stuff for the Lord. And, yeah, I just thought I'd share these thoughts. I've got one last thing. A commentator said, there is the greatest encouragement, therefore, to persevere with all of our strength in this race. Those who ran in these games were kept to a strict diet. They used themselves to hardship. They practiced the exercises, and those who pursue the interests of their souls must combat hard with fleshly lusts. The body must not be suffered to rule. The apostle presses this advice on the Corinthians. He sat before himself and then he sets before himself and then the danger of yielding to fleshly lust, pampering the body and its lusts and the appetite's holy fear of himself, his own evil flesh, was needed to keep an apostle faithful. How much more is it needful for our preservation? Let us learn from hence humility and caution, and watch against dangers which surround us while in the body, that we might be enabled by his Spirit to run this one-time race with endurance and passionate purpose. I thought that was fantastic. And I was still looking at it. I was still thinking, Paul, he's keen. He's saying that we've got to run this race. It's like, but we're already saved. And I still didn't really understand where his motivation was coming from. But I understand we love Christ and that. But the race, anyway. In Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's like, that I may win Christ. This is a saved man saying that he's still pushing, pressing toward the mark so that he can win Christ. I was like, hang on a minute. We've already got Christ. But that, that I may win. The word in Greek is kadeno, and it says to gain Christ's favour. So I just, I don't know, it spoke heaps to me that I'm not doing anywhere near enough for the Lord. I just thought I'd come up here and share this thing that it needs to be. I believe if we're awake, we're doing things for Christ. If we're speaking, we're talking for Christ. If we're talking to a brother, we're talking about Christ. If we're talking to anyone on the street, a person in a shop, absolutely anyone, it should be for Christ. Because as it turns out, we don't all have his favour. Even though we're saved and we're his children, you still, it says, well, Paul seemed to think that we still had to win his favour. So, yeah, I hope you understood any of that. Thanks for your time, brothers.